you say lovely?
Good morning. It's good to see you. Are all your phones switched off? Amen. Let's make sure that our phones are switched off. And we're going to have just a great, great, great time this morning. It's good to see you. And I just want us to, I said a couple of weeks ago, we were speaking about, we finished off a little series we did on keys to the secrets to the God kind of life. Remember that? And I enjoyed that. I thought that was helpful. And then I said that we're preparing right now a series on finance that will carry us through, I think, most of November. And I'm very excited about that because we're going to talk about a whole range of how you live, how you perceive life, why is money important, why would you tithe, what do you, all those kind of questions. We're going to really talk about it and open things up a little and help people. But what I said last week I wanted to do, or 2 weeks ago, was spend 2 weeks just talking about two things that have really changed my life in 30-something years as a Christian and 20-something years as a minister. There were two things really that I learnt and experienced as a young person, as a younger person, that changed my life. And two things that really helped me, and we spoke about one of them last week, and that was the spirit of faith. Remember that? I just talked about the power, and if you weren't here, I want to encourage you. A lot of these podcasts now are going online. They take us a week or so to get up, but they're always available on CD as well. And I want to encourage you to get a hold of that, because that really changed my whole life. The understanding that God wanted to give me things, that it was all right to come to God to receive, that the object, just nudge the person next to you there, the object of God's abundance and blessing and everything that he had was that he wanted to give it to you. He has plenty, we have need. Are you with me? And so for our perspective to be one that comes to receive, that really offends the religious spirit, and I'm quite happy to offend the religious spirit. That really offends, because we kind of feel like, no, this idea that many Christians have, you know, it's like, it's all about what I can do for God. It's really not all about what you can do for God. It's all about what he has done for you and wants to do for you. And when he pours that out on you, then it just pours through you to other people. Are you with me? And many Christians, you will have experienced it. Maybe you're there yourself. Many Christian people feel exasperated or short of strength or short of ability to do everything they feel God wants them to do. And they feel that they let the Lord down and they didn't do this as well as they could have, and they should have, could have done that better, and they could have prayed more, and they could have helped people more, and all those kinds of things. And that whole paradigm needs to be turned on its head. Because the point of God being awesome and us being, you know, being his people is that we're dependent upon him. And see, that becomes really frustrating. So you have churches, many times the church world. And listen, I really believe that God is changing this picture all over our nation. It may be the first time you've heard, or the second time, it might be fresh-ish news to you to hear someone speak like that. But I speak to you prophetically that all over this country, God is going to raise up people that begin to talk about what God has done for them and what God wants to do through you, and that paradigm I just referred to is going to be turned completely around. And I believe that we are already in a move of God in this nation. It's not coming, it's here. Things are changing, things are shaking. Are you with me? I believe that right here in our midst in Staines, we are going to see remarkable things within the next 6 to 12 months, remarkable things that are going to change. And I'm ready for it. Amen? And but part of that is the understanding. And see, that really changed me as a young person, that I should come to the throne of God boldly to receive. Everyone say receive. The job is to receive. Come on, pour it on me, God. Everyone say that. Pour it on me, God. Let it fly. I'm ready to receive. Give me your best. Hit me with your best shot. God is not afraid of that kind of praying. In fact, it's boldness that actually receives something from God. And many of us, see, what you've got to realize is that the Christians, the people of God, are the voice and the influence of God in the earth. God doesn't have any influence on the earth except through his people. Are you with me? And so once you get connected with God, you become a threat to the devil and a vessel to carry God's presence, God's message, God's life, God's love, God's power. And that's exactly what the devil would love to try and shut down. So he'll try and couch everything in religious terms, or he'll try and distract you, or he'll try and get you frustrated. And we have to change our thinking so that the church changes from a people that are trying so hard to please God to people that are happily receiving an abundance from God and happily pouring it out on the community around them. Are you with me? Are you hearing me this morning? Are you in tune this morning? Are you in the house this morning? Amen. I want to rattle your cage just a little bit. I've got about 25 minutes to go here. Are you ready? So faith is that perspective on life, that bold, confident come to receive. It's not my message today, but I wanted to touch on it. I want to talk about the other area that really changed my life, and that was, alongside faith, was to understand this concept, this truth called the realm of the Spirit or the world of the Spirit. The fact that there are two worlds going on all the time simultaneously. There's the natural world, you're sitting on chairs, the physical world, we're in a certain building. Then there's the spiritual world. There's an anointing, a presence on me to preach. The fact that if I'm preaching any good or teaching any good and you feel like this is talking to me, it's not because I'm well educated. It's not because I have the gift of the gab. It's not because I have a charismatic personality or whatever people think. It's because of an anointing from God. And every one of you in that spirit realm has a glory on you, because the Bible says he crowned you with glory. We're going to talk a little about that. And then there are demons that try and hold people back, that sit on people's shoulders, that some of the sickness that people have is purely just a demon. And then there are angels that are here. So if I'm minister, I do something, I speak something, there's angels here. Sometimes they'll touch you. Sometimes they'll whisper in your ear. Sometimes they'll change circumstances. Sometimes as you start just to simply believe the word that you're hearing, situations begin to change in your world, at home, in your family, in your children, and you're not even aware of it. But because you're in a place where you're receiving from God's presence, there's this other world going on, the spirit world. Are you with me? So I've got a number of slides that have been beautifully hand-done by yours truly. Consequently, I got to bed at about 4 o'clock, so if I look a little tired, but I spent a lot of time preparing for you. Let's have a look at a few things here. The world of the spirit. There are two worlds functioning here on earth simultaneously. And we can make a lot of references. My primary job today is not to teach you all the fine details, but to show you what the situation is and then to lead us into more experiential things along that line. So there's the natural realm or world and the spiritual realm. And then you can see Jesus here. Can you read that little green bit at the bottom? That's okay. No one can enter or see the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. So born of water makes reference to natural birth. Born of the Spirit makes reference to spiritual birth. They are the two realms. If you find a third one, let me know. flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. There's a parallel. When you have children, it's your natural flesh that gives birth to natural flesh. It's exactly the same principle in the spirit. So if I'm a father in the spiritual world, then there's a certain DNA in me that I can impart, and that you, by the way, as carriers of God's presence, will impart to the people around you. And whatever you carry in your spirit, you can produce or reproduce in that which you give birth to. If both parents have blue eyes, then the children are going to have, in all probability, blue, unless there's a back recessive brown gene somewhere, but for the sake of argument, if the parents both have blue eyes, then the children are going to have blue eyes, because you can't reproduce what isn't in you. Exactly the same is true spiritually. You can't reproduce. If you don't have the confidence of God in you, you can't reproduce it. If you have a limited level or concept of the anointing and the presence of God on you, you can't reproduce it. So church, you see, our gathering together has a number of important functions. One of them, thankfully, is to eat and drink together. Amen. And to meet together and to hang out together. It's part of the function of church. One of them is to worship God together with abandon and bless his name and pray for God's people and pray for people that don't know him yet. And one of them is for me to bring the word of God, but to impart something in the spiritual world that changes your life. Are you with me? So we're going to look at that. All right, let's go to the next slide here. The world of the spirit. This is how it works. God spoke. He was in the spirit world. God's not visible in this natural world. But if you flip over into the spiritual world, he is visible. And one of the manifestations of this gift you see in 1 Corinthians 12 called the discerning of spirits, which has to do with seeing into that spirit world, one of the ways that works is that people see all of a sudden something in the spiritual world. And that happens from time, that happens occasionally to me, not that often. But there was an interesting thing I got on, on Twitter just the other day, I think yesterday maybe, and where there was someone in New Mexico. Did anyone see that? There was a police guy in New Mexico, and they had, which is in America, and they have their video cameras, you know, surveillance cameras in the precinct, and they saw this ghost-looking thing on the camera. And they had three different cameras shooting it, and they showed the thing. And at first they thought it was a bug on the screen, but then as it moved across, it kind of had legs. It looked like a ghost. And you know, you get all kinds of interesting theories about that, and I wouldn't base any great spiritual truth on that, but the reality is that that's going on all the time. And just every now and then, for maybe whatever reason, eyes may be opened or things might be perceived to this other world that's going on. So when John wrote the book of Revelation, remember the book of Revelation, he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. So he's lost in this other realm. And his eyes were opened and he saw the spirit world. And then he sees some quite unusual things. He saw Jesus. Well, that makes sense. But Jesus was clothed in his glory. Hair was white. Big, you know, got bronze feet. And then in his hand he had seven stars. And then he was walking amongst seven lampstands. And the seven lampstands represented the seven churches that the letters go to. And the seven stars were the ministers of these churches. The word is messenger, which is sometimes interpreted angel, but I tend to think that it's talking about the ministers, senior ministers of the churches rather than the angels, but that's another discussion for another time. But he's seeing all that. All that happened was his eyes were open to another realm. A couple of months back, I talked a little about my testimony and some of the things that I'd been through in life and how the Lord had helped me. And one of the things that had been a significant impact was when I was going through a very difficult period in my life. It was in 2005, and we were in a meeting, and I don't have time to go into it, some of you remember. We were in a meeting, and one of the guys that was in our church was heading up the deaconing, and his eyes were opened by the Holy Spirit, and he saw all these angels around, and one of them came up to him and said, is everything all right? And he looked at him like, shouldn't I be asking you that? But he realized that actually we have authority. We're supposed to run things. Angels are not demanding, but they're serving. And then he saw certain things happening with me and my family at that time, and demons kind of trying to get to us and angels hacking and all that kind of stuff. So those things go on. Sometimes when you're feeling like really oppressed, it's a bad day, everything seems to be going wrong. You don't know it, but it's just some demonic thing that's attacking you, that's having a shot at you. You need to, this world is real. Are you with me? So God speaks out of this world, and then his words create the natural world. You need to know that the spirit world is the master world. It's the superior world. It's the more important world. And if we would walk in that world, then we would exercise the kind of influence that God wants us to exercise. God exercises influence anywhere people let him. If you will come to him and open your heart and let him have access to your life, he'll change your life. The only way that he can't do that is if you won't allow him. But it's exactly the same. We are supposed to be like God, carrying his presence, representing him, walking like him. Are you with me? Okay, let's go to the next one. So your human spirit is the part of you that is born again. It's the part that the Holy Spirit flows through. And that beautiful diagram, that's the Holy Spirit life. You'll see that these three words, you can write it down if you want, life and power and spirit and anointing, that's four words, they're always together in the Bible. They're always, their meaning is all intertwined. So the life of God flows into your spirit. And Romans tells us there, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then he'll give life to your mortal body. That's how healing works. If the Spirit of God's in you, then he gives life to your mortal body. And life just flows with you, through you. Are you with me? Let's go to the next one. There is a river in heaven. How many realize that? If you were to go to heaven, you'd see it. Most of the people that I'm aware of that have gone to heaven, majority of them have had some experience in this river. It's called the River of Life. It's real. But it exists in the world of the Spirit. So it's flowing right now from heaven to earth. There it is in that beautiful diagram. And there's a few references I've got there, Revelation 22, 1 and 2, and there's others. Now, what I want you to understand and what kind of changed my life was to get that the essence of Christianity is to receive from and live in that river. That's what the essence of Christianity is. The essence of Christianity is not a doctrine. The essence of Christianity is not, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, I believe in the cross. That's the foundational truth. Of course, I'm not putting that aside. But the essence of it is all that happened, the cross happened, the death, burial, and resurrection happened so that you would experience life. If you don't experience life, you've missed the whole point. Are you with me? So the cross is a doorway into an experience. Are you with me? Okay. So the essence of Christian, that river is flowing. All right, let's go to the next slide. I spent quite a bit of time doing artwork for you beautiful people. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you'll bear much fruit. How do you bear a lot of fruit? By just working really hard, praying really hard, studying, going to theological college, being at all the services. All those things may or may not help. The point is this, you've got to remain in him and his words have got to remain in you. It's talking about connection. And then, if you remain in him, ask whatever you wish and it will be given. How wild is that? You ever wondered about that? You can ask whatever you wish. That's the NIV version. Ask what it, just nudge the person and say, next to you and say, whatever you wish. You can ask whatever you wish. How can that possibly be right? Because the key to everything is this connection here. He's the vine, you're the branch. There's a point where those two connect. And in that connection, life flows out of the vine into the branch. And that's the essence of Christianity. That life flow is the center of everything. So I like pears. And I've got I've planted three pear trees in the back garden. Two of them have produced pears, and the other one's a chanticleer or something, and it has nice colours but no pears. And imagine what it would be like if we're just in pear season and we're just kind of coming to the end of pear season. And one of my pear trees is bearing all these, and they're looking good, you know, and they're kind of halfway ready. So, but convenience, for convenience sake, I think to myself, look, it's great that they're growing, but I have to go outside in the door, you know, it's England, it might possibly be raining, and I have to go and, you know. So what I'll do is I'll just cut off the branch that's got the most pears on it, bring it into the kitchen and just strap it up against the wall. Very convenient. But are those pears going to keep growing? It's over. The minute you sever it, it's over. There's no more life. You see? And that's the truth for us. When the connection, the active, experienced, real connection between you and God is good, then life flows through you. And then fruit just pops out. But as soon as that connection is severed, then no more life flows. But it looks the same. You bring the pear branch in for the first little bit, it'll look the same. But over a period of time, it'll get browner and browner, won't it? And the pears won't grow and they'll wrinkle up. And that's what happens to some Christians. And they think that a certain technique, a certain thing, a certain way of praying, a certain, you know, if I do this, it'll fix it. The only thing that matters really is the connection. And when you're connected, you sense life flowing through you. We have to help the church get past this idea, and it's rooted in a certain kind of theology, and I was very familiar with it when I was a young Christian. But, the idea, and I understand it, but the idea is, you know, facts first, faith second, feelings last. Anyone remember that? The little train? I think it might have been in a Baptist church I learned that. The little train. Choo-choo-choo-choo. Facts first, which is fine. Faith second, you put your faith in the facts. The feelings come last. Now, there's a truth there that's important. But what happens is that people start to get nervous about feeling anything. They start to feel like, and you might have heard it, you know, when people are kind of critical of charismatics, or, you know, they're all emotional, or it's all about feelings and it's over-emotional. And I think some things that are done in the name of Jesus are over-emotional, absolutely. But the point is this, if you're connected to real life, there's a flow. You feel it. You sense it. Something is flowing in you. There's a river and it's flowing. Are you with me? Now, I just need to do a little demonstration for the... See, this is for the visual learners. See that? And then this is for the auditory learners. But now, I've got a little demo for the kinesthetic learners here. There you go. Did you feel anything? You all right? You coping? It's only water. Garlic water, admittedly, but, you know. No, it wasn't. My wife potentially could use garlic water. My point is this. I'm sorry. But my point is this. You see, you felt something. I did that deliberately because that's how Christianity is. You're supposed to feel something. If there's a river, that was just a splash of water. If there's a whole river of life coming out of heaven and you're going through your Christian life, you don't really feel much. Something is fundamentally wrong. Are you with me? There needs, and so my job, you see, as a minister is to create and maintain and maximize the flow of the river, and that's why people get healed. That's why lives get changed. That's why people walk in. Many times, and I want to encourage you with all my heart to think, pray, invite, and bring people next week to breakfast. I'm tempted to have a person at the door. William will do this. He's very good. William's the welcome. William and Doris do a wonderful job welcoming. But I reckon William's got that side in him where if we needed to exclude some people. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm tempted to say, look, if you come and you didn't bring somebody, buy your own breakfast. I'm not quite there yet. But I want to encourage you. I want us to be, see, you have to be deliberate about things like that. And that's the point I'm making. Many of us will all agree with the concept, yeah, let's bring some people. But there's a change, there's a difference between that and deliberately going out and praying and saying, okay, God, so I've got the hard word from the pastor now, I better do some business with you. I need to find somebody to bring. I really need to. And here's an idea. If you really do that with God, the river will flow. And in that river will come names. And you'll think, you know, my brother, my sister, my cousin, this guy at work, you know, they expressed some interest. And there's a difference between a nice intention and making it happen. And just as a little aside, all success in life is based on action. If you're not having a lot of success, do something. A lot of people postulate, but not many people do. You'll be surprised what starts to happen when you actually do it. And so I want to urge you to do that, to think and think about three or four people and phone them. And don't just invite them, bring them. Pick them up. Say, I will be there at, and of course we start at 10:25, right? So you want to be here at 10:20, so you'll pick them up at whatever time. I'll be there and I'll pick you up and I'll bring you. And you'll have a free breakfast and we will do the best we can do. Our bass player was ill this morning, so we're a little bit short, but I thought the band did a really good job this morning, didn't you? So we'll do all that. We'll put on nice food. We're friendly. You know, we don't look funny. And, well, just turn to the person next to you and say, most of us. And because there are, you know, there's not just a handful, there's 50,000 people out there that we got to reach. Now, your circle, your metron, your world will involve some people from work, some people where you live, maybe not all in stains, which is cool, but bring them. Are you with me? I really want you, I'm urging you to think seriously, because if we all got in that river, God loves those people. You don't know how you're going to feel. You bring someone, they actually come with you. It feels so good. And then when they have a good time, and we get like, of the people that come to our church, first time they've never been there and they haven't met the Lord. And we give them an opportunity to meet the Lord. And that's what I want to do next week, but it's a bit pointless if there isn't a lot of people that don't know the Lord. But last month, the breakfast before last, we had six people that responded. And we would have more than 50% of the people that come for the first time that don't know Jesus. They only heard the message normally once, and they'll respond to the gospel. Which is awesome. Why is that? Because there's a river flowing and there's some kind of life. We had one guy, Daniel bought a young guy, and Daniel's still working with him because you've got to keep encouraging people. Remember that guy? And he came, yeah? He came, young guy, Daniel's age. He slipped up his hand and Owen talked to him afterwards. He said, I don't even know why I put it up. It just kind of went up. Because there's a river. Because there's probably an angel. Because God is so keen to connect with people. He loves them so much. And we're the guys that are. Did I make my point? I know I've slipped out of my main. Okay. So we've got to do what we can in that regard. Let's go to this next one here. The central issue of true New Testament Christianity, the thing that Jesus brought, is experience of spirit life power, not believing certain teachings. I want you to understand that. That's the central issue. See, that doesn't mean I don't believe in right teaching. I do. I'm laboring teaching with you right now. But the point is that the central issue is an experience of power. Have I got a scripture for you? Yes. Well, there's one there. Well, actually, no, it's not there. It's on the next page. If teachings don't bring an experience of spirit, life, power, we've missed the point. Are you with me? Teachings are supposed to bring the word of God that God's entrusted to all of us and to me in this case as a minister here. And here's another thing that God just dropped in my heart. You know, God is going to raise up a lot of other people that speak and minister for him in this house. I already know who some of them are. I'm watching. I'm seeing. I'm excited about that. Amen. But God, if it doesn't bring spirit life power, we've missed the point. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20, you can write it down if you want to. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20, you'll be amazed when you hear it. It says this, it says, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Now that doesn't mean that words are not important. What it means is that the central issue is the power, not just the words. Are you with me? Let's go on. Now, when I discovered this, man, I tell you, my life changed. Let's move on because I've got a few more slides. Here's a few. Look, Jesus, just to substantiate the point I've made to you. Jesus speaking, whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within him. That's what's supposed to happen. Jesus speaking again to the Pharisees, you study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life, but you refuse to come to me to have life. See, the point of the teaching and the point of the scriptures is that you come to him and make a connection and that life flows. And you know you've met the real Jesus because the life of God is flowing in you. Come on, somebody. Am I getting to you yet? And then Jesus says again, John 6:63, the words I speak to you are spirit and life. Let's go to another couple of verses here. Look at this in the New Testament. Paul speaking, my speech and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power so that your faith might rest on God's power. Some of you know that verse. What does that mean? That means that the emphasis of what I'm saying was not my clever words. The emphasis of what I'm saying is that the words were a shell, were anointed and brought power, and that power is what you put your faith in. Praise God. I tell you, when I discovered this, that this other world's going on all the time, that I'm a part of this other world, it just changed my life. There's another one. The law of the spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. That's the essence of the New Testament, really. There's a new law flowing in me. It's called spirit and life. Everyone say, I've got spirit and life in me. All right, let's go to the next one. Look at this. The reality. This reality exists in the world of the Spirit. You are crowned with glory and honor. Remember that? Psalm 8 verse 5, I preach from that pretty often. Jesus says here again, I have given them the glory that you gave me in John 17:22. The word in the New Testament, doxa, glory. The word in the Old Testament, you are crowned. That word actually, crowned, means surrounded. Like it's an army that surrounded people. So the idea that you're crowned, like the glory of God, that's not really, you should really, really probably the better word for it is what the New Age movement will use when they talk about aura. And that's really what it is. And in all probability, and I'm not going into it in a doctrinal sense, but in all probability, see, so people, when that are open, their eyes are open to that world, that's what they see. But you've got the glory of God on you. If Jesus is in you. Are you with me? And that glory is a force and a power that changes things around you. When you walk into a room, people sense a difference because of the glory of God that surrounds you. The honor of God that surrounds you. If you're not conscious of that glory, if you're not aware of what I'm saying, if you walk into a room not even thinking that way, then you nullify the effect of what God's already put on you. Where if you walk through life knowing that you've got glory on you. So if you have a disagreement with your partner at home, you can get into the natural world and start arguing and quibbling, or you can think about the fact that the glory of God's on me. So underneath the influence of that glory, I can control the way I act. I can control the way I speak. I don't need to go there. And when you have two people that are both operating, you know, people are people. We have our disagreements. But But when you have people that are both conscious that they're under the glory of God, it changes the way people react to one another. It puts a peace in the home. Are you with me? Let's go to the next one. You can be a believer with very little life flowing through you. You can have gifts, but they don't have much spirit life. See, God gifts you, but unless that connection is strong and unless you're aware of the river and you're conscious of the river flowing through you, the gifts can have very little anointing on them, even though it is a gift. Next. You can teach Bible truths that have little or no life on them because they're not in the current flow of what's coming from heaven. Now we can get into this whole area, and we're not going to extensively, but you've heard, remember Jesus talking about new wine demands new wineskins. And in the Old Testament, it talks about that God is doing a new thing. God, there's a river flowing from heaven. You ever seen a river out here, the Thames? What was in the river 5 minutes ago, 10 seconds ago, isn't what's in the river now. It's flowing. And from heaven, there are certain things flowing. And what we want to do, what always is where the blessing of God is where people are in tune with what's coming out of the river now. There's certain emphases in the river now. I believe that what I'm bringing, what I'm telling you, is in the river now. I look for and I listen to preachers and ministers that I sense are in that river speaking what I would call something current from God. Now then I hear other ministers. When I 20, 30 years ago, there were certain ministers that had a great influence on my life. And they still have changed my life. But I don't listen to them anymore. Not because they're wrong. It's because that was what was in the river at that season. Amen. And that's not what's in the river now. Amen. And sometimes I listen to ministers and I only have to listen for 20 seconds and I think, I just can't listen to it anymore. But what they're saying is biblically correct. It's just not in a current flow. It's what we were saying 30 years ago. Now, the principles are the same. Are you with me? But you've got to understand that Christian ministry is not just, and your life, your Christian life, is not just building a certain number of facts on a certain doctrinal pillars. It's an experience of God's presence. Amen. Let's go to the next one. Being filled. You being filled is the essence of true Christianity. That's absolutely true. You being filled with the Spirit is the essence of New Testament Christianity. Let's have a look at the next one. The mandate of the minister is to bring and to speak Spirit and life. So here's a couple of quotes from 2 Corinthians. It talks about that we bring the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. That's my job, but then that's also your job. The fragrance is something you smell. You know, certain people walk into the room, it changes the atmosphere. I remember that sign. I should get that on my mini office wall. Remember that? It said, everybody makes me happy. Everybody that comes to this office makes me happy. Some when they arrive and some when they leave. And that's true, isn't it? Because some people bring something that lifts. And some people bring something that pulls it down. My job is to bring Spirit and life. My job is to bring a fragrance of the knowledge of God. Again, here he writes and he says, you're our letter written on your hearts by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. People are a letter. So he was a minister. It's like, so I would say, you're my letter and it's written on your heart. There's something written on your heart. It's not a doctrine in your head. It's something written in your heart. It's something that you experienced. It's something that you felt. It's something that you sensed. It's something that changed you. Are you with me? So a minister, let me show you this little demo. See, a minister is like a servant. And you know, we have the term here, prime minister, the prime minister of the country, which just means first servant. So initially that came when the Queen kind of made the decisions, which really doesn't happen now. And then the first servant, the highest servant of the Queen's will, was the Prime Minister. But the word minister means to serve. And so if I'm in a restaurant, for instance, and I'm serving you, then I come and say, we've had our main meal and now we're on to dessert. And so I'm serving. And I come to people and I have the serve, and there you are, take some of that. It's delicious, isn't it? You want some? So we'll put that one aside. This is not doing any good to anybody. However, this one. See, now if I serve you here with some nice fresh chocolates, go ahead. It's all right. Go ahead. No. Just as well Val isn't here. Good. Are you with you? Anyone else like one? Observe. Yes, you like one? Lawrence, no? Am I tempting you? Alan? Eh? All right, that's all. I'm all out. I'm not quite out, but it's all right. You can have one later. So the point is, okay, I'm serving. I'm bringing something to you that you partake of. And this bowl is, if you like, the word, the delivery method, the word of God. But I can bring the word of God and it hasn't got anything in it. And it looks and sounds for all intents and purposes like the real thing. And that's what happens in too many churches. We've got to change that. Whereas the point is you're supposed to bring something. And notice that if people don't take anything, they don't get anything. You have to actively actually grab it and take it. Did you want one? Go ahead. Did you want one, Eli? Go ahead. There's one left. Lucille? Last one. Oh, gee, how gracious. You ready? They're done. So that supply of that stuff, that comes from God. And my job is in the presence of God, in the anointing of God, in that bowl, which is the word of God, you've got to actually deliver something. You've got to actually bring something. That's the point. And then when you partake of it, now you're feeling better with a little bit of chocolate on the inside of you. And that's how it's supposed to work with the word of God. So you can bring the word of God, you can bring the bowl, and sometimes the word of God comes, but it doesn't put any life, anything, nobody feeds. But the presence of God, my job is to make sure that my bowl is full. Now, if my connection is good and I'm in a river, then the more you take, the more flows out. There's no end to the supply. Are you with me? And generally what happens is the more people take, the more flows through. Generally what happens is the miracles that happen in a service or manifestations of God get stronger the longer you go on. Which is why sometimes I just wish, you know, I'm looking forward to occasionally having a kind of a believer's service where we can get into all that kind of stuff, because we focus our Sunday morning service on being able to reach people that aren't normally in the house of God, and so we curtail it a little bit. We're trying to reach people that are unchurched really. But the point is here that that's the essence of Christianity. I think I've got one more slide. How to live filled. See the greatest things that have happened in my life, the things that have really changed me, have been biblical, but they've been experiential. When I was just a new believer, or I was just filled with the Spirit, I was a believer for 5.5 years, and then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in that first year of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was very, very hungry for God. And I just went with it. I was a student in a teacher's college, university situation. And then we were renting a friend of mine, actually Chris Brown, who came here earlier in the year, and I were looking after a house that some of our student friends were renting, and they'd gone skiing or something. And I just got filled with the Spirit. So I was in this back room, and I was just going crazy. I was reading the Bible. I was reading the Psalms out loud, for half an hour, 45 minutes. I didn't have a clock on. I was just into it. The glory of God. I'm quoting Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm just in. You know what I mean? And when you go there, you get in this zone. And then the Lord, I had this really unusual experience. And it was like the presence of God came in, and everything that was in the room, the room was like filled with the presence of God. I sensed it. I felt it. And everything that was in the room went inside of me. And then this word came to me, like from the Holy Spirit, just said, I give you the gift of prophecy. And I didn't even know exactly, I didn't know then what I know now about what the gift of prophecy is and isn't. See what I'm saying? Sometimes we wait to understand everything and then we think that'll lead to experience. It doesn't work like that. What happens is you hear, you believe, you get experience, and then we start to explain what's going on. Did you get that? That's really important to understand. That's the kind of New Testament Christianity we see. The power is in the words that are preached. And as soon as you make a decision in your heart to accept, receive the words that are preached, that word has an effect as long as I'm anointed, as long as I'm in a flow, as long as I'm in that river. And when that happens, you'll have certain experiences. And then you kind of, and then when you have these experiences, you don't even understand exactly what's going on. But then our job as church people, as Christians, is to teach and to train people what's going on in their world that they're experiencing. So, for instance, in the book of Acts, it says this, and I know we're running out of energy, aren't we? The brain can only receive what the seat can endure. So just have a wiggle. I've got to come to a close here. But in the book of Acts, remember, it talks about Jesus and how that they used to talk about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Everyone say, do and teach. And mostly that's the pattern. He does something and then he'll teach about it. And we, in our Western Greek minds, like it the other way. We like it explain, then maybe. And that doesn't usually bring the best results. Amen. Let's just get our keyboard up here, will we? Are we going to close in just a minute? But I want us to give a little time. I want you to consciously think about, will I get the water pistol out again? I want you to consciously think about the river of God. We're just going to play something very simple. I want you consciously to think about receiving something from heaven. I tell you the truth, these two things, to understand faith, to receive from God, and to understand this world of the Spirit, that it's going on all the time. That it's not hard to get into. You don't have to pray and fast. You're born of it. It's natural to you. The problem that has kept you out of it is that you didn't know it was natural to you and you thought you had to understand all these techniques and ideas and a certain level of biblical knowledge and blah, blah, blah. And then maybe you would... No, it doesn't work like that. It's just a river. Jump in. Enjoy it. Just some of you might want to pray quietly in the Spirit. Some of you just lift your hands to the Father. Some of you, whatever you want. But let the experience, some of the things that I've talked about this morning just jumped out at you. Like, yeah, I've got to. That's what I've got to do. Uh-huh. So the central point is experience. The kingdom of God is power. Think on that. That's what the word meditate. Think about it. And realize that there is absolutely no reason why you can't experience all of what God has. That river, that spirit world, that's where healing is. It's not figuring it all out. It's simply receiving it. Saying, yep. Answers come out. Answers for your situations come out of that world. Thank God. Prophecy comes out of that world. The breaking of chains that have held people back come out of that world. And I know I'm only doing one week, one message on this. And I'd love to do this every week almost, you know. Because you open this river and it's like, let's swim, baby. Let's see where we're going today. And it's fresh. And it's new. Sometimes you let your mind get stuck on the problem. I need this fixed. Why isn't this? And you've got to get your mind off the problem and onto the presence of God. Onto the fact that he's got an answer. Father, let your presence just fill this place. And let your name be glorified. You know my heart, Father God. I want your name glorified, and I want your people's socks blessed completely off. And I want our whole town and our whole nation to become awake to the love of God and the power of God that's in Jesus. Thank you for the river that's flowing in here. Thank you for the word of the Lord that's coming into our hearts and lives. Hallelujah. I'm just going to take a minute and speak a couple of words over people's lives here. Aline, and we're recording here, aren't we? You got this on the thingo? Yeah. This, I just see the Lord saying this. You are going to, you're going to, I don't know if you've preached, taught what you've done, but you are going to bring the word of God to people in a preaching, teaching capacity. Now, I don't know if that's soon or later. I see you getting involved in ministry here that has to do with getting the word of God out, getting teaching out. But I tell you this, you've got a servant heart, but God is going to use your mouth, and the words of your mouth are going to bless and release to others. You've learnt, you've listened, you've fed, but there's a time of great release coming here. Julian, I see this. I see a weight lifting off your life. And I don't really know you. I don't know anything about you. But I see that a real affection from the Father for you. He loves you. He thinks you're beautiful. And it looks to me like there are some things in the past, recent-ish past, that may make you feel like a failure, that may make you feel like you're less than what you should have been. And the word of the Lord is, don't hear that. That is not true. There's a great affection for the Father for you. And he's going to lift the heaviness and lift the lid off your life. And I see an expression of joy, an artistic kind of musical. I know you play bass, but I see an expression of joy and a liberty in your life that you've never known before. Praise God. And I see this word over you, Dave, but it's also for Kate. And it's like again, it's again, and it's different, and it's more. And I sense that that has to do with bringing the presence of God and that realm of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, that whole area. And I see the Lord, I see that like a really beautiful, strong bond between the two of you that's uniquely colored because you're different and you both bring something different to the mix. But I see this, it's coming in, and it'll be sooner rather than later. That gifts of the Spirit flow. But it's different. There's a different understanding. It's operated within a certain paradigm. And as you embrace a different paradigm, a different spirit, a different anointing, it'll flow and it'll be more. The end result of all you've been through will be a higher expression of Jesus and the Spirit of God through your lives. Amen. 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 Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Praise God. Where's Anderson? Could you just stand up for me, man? I just see the Lord standing you up like that. And you've got taller, of course. But I see the Lord saying, look, I'm going to draw some attention to you. I'm going to cause you to stand up, and you're going to be not just in the natural but in the spiritual world. I'm going to draw on you and cause you to stand higher than those around you. Not in a sense of superiority, not in a sense of lording it over people, but in a sense of I want to develop something in your life. And there's a switch going on in your life, and it's happening right now. That's changing over from a receiver to a not just a giver, but like an organizer. There's a switch that comes from just, it's not just now about me having a good time, but actually there's this sense of responsibility. And part of you might think like, well, you know, I'd just like to be a kid a bit longer and all that kind of stuff. But I just, if that's what's happening for you in your world, I just want to confirm the Holy Spirit is moving on your life. And God is drawing attention to you, and he's going to start to speak to you about things that might be a little different to what he's speaking to your peers. And you'll find that what's going on in your world and in your heart is different. Some of the things that interested you a great deal in that peer situation, they're going to become of less interest to you. It's because God's moving on your life. And because you've been in this house pretty much all your life. But you're going to experience some things of God and the Spirit, the things we're talking about this morning, in these next few months that will change the way you look at life. It's a good day for you. Amen. Thank God. Let's just lift our hands to heaven right now. Because we don't have time and it wouldn't necessarily be right. Where's young Ethan though? Ethan, just close your eyes for me, would you? And just lift your hands. I just see God really coming down on your life. I don't know to me this guitar thing seems important. I don't know. I know you're thinking about learning guitar or whatever, going in that direction. But I see the hand of God on your life, and I know you're 11 or 12 or something around there, but you're smart, and you can understand. And what you're going through in your own world is really important to God. And some of the challenges that you're facing, you know, and adjustments, the school adjustments, this church adjustments, and stuff like that. But God wants you to know that his hand's on your life, and that he's going to guide you, and that he's going to kind of like put a light on you. Things are going to change for you, and that that the path that he leads you on is going to turn out to be way better than the old path. And you're just going to have this sense that he's with you. There's grace on your life. It's a good thing. Amen. Let's just all lift our hands to the Lord. So, Father, let the blessing and the grace and the river of God. I can't prophesy over everybody. And sometimes when I'm speaking to someone else, it'll be like, yeah, that's for me. Well, just take it. There's a river flowing. There's a river flowing. So I'm just pulling little bits out of the river, but you can pull your own bit out of the river. Are you with me? And so don't ever let the spirit of discouragement, you prophesied over sunset. No, right now, take and drink and thank God and receive and enjoy and think on it and get ready and walk in faith and walk in another realm. The glory of God is surrounding you. Hallelujah. Say with me, the glory of God is surrounding me. It's all over me. Thank God. Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a great hand of praise this morning? Hallelujah. Those kind of services.